Scripture reading this morning will be from Philippians 4, verses 4 through 13. Philippians 4, 4 through 13. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your graciousness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses every thought, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any moral excellence and if there is any praise, dwell on these things. Do what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last you have renewed your care for me. You are in fact concerned about me and lack the opportunity to show it. I don't say this out of need, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know both how to have little and I know how to have a lot. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being content, whether well fed or hungry, whether in abundance or in need. I am able to do all things through him who strengthens me.
Good morning. Good morning. It's a pleasure to be with everyone here today in Memphis, Tennessee. I've heard about how hot it is. I'm sure that will come shortly, and I will be upset about that in weeks to come. But for now, I'm very grateful and thankful to each and every person here, the elders, the deacons, and, of course, the members who have to listen to me on a regular basis as I follow around Mr. Terry this summer. I'm staying in the Hart Hotel with some of the sweetest people I know. Miss Hart is a wonderful Christian example, and Mr. Hart is a wonderful Christian example as well. This morning, I'd like to let you in on two secrets. Two secrets. The first secret is that I am a Cubs fan. I ask that you don't hold that against me, but I will tell you that it is very tough to be a Cubs fan. And here's why. The Cubs over the years have struggled for what seems to be like over a century. And I say like over a century because it has been over a century, as Mr. Hart quickly pointed out. The last time the Cubs won a World Series was in 1908. So I know that, and with simple math, we understand that's 104 years. But recently, the Cubs have taken the general manager of the Boston Red Sox, who helped them get over their almost century-long World Series drought, Theo Epstein. And now all the Cubs fans are rallying together and hoping that Theo Epstein can get us through this really tough time. We hope that the mastermind that could raise the Red Sox from the dead and the dearths of the AL East and lead them to be World Series champs twice in 5 years can do the same for the Cubs. Unfortunately, in June of the first year, we are once again in our familiar last place, or second to last place. Thankfully, the Houston Astros are also in our division. But that leads to the second secret this morning. The Cubs fans, we have a hard time believing that anyone can get us through because we've been conditioned to think that way. But Christians have another secret that we need to be aware of. I want to share that with you right now. Being a Christian in this world is tough. I know you didn't know that, but that's something to think about. When you think about all the hurricanes and the tornadoes that have decimated parts of Alabama and other regions in the country, just over 8 years ago, 4 hurricanes went through Orlando, Florida, devastated the area. When Christians lose loved ones, whether they're saved or unsaved, it is tough and leads us to be in a tough position as simple human beings to go through the separation of a loved one, to be without that person, whether they are in heaven or otherwise. But thirdly, we deal with temptations in this world, and that can be tough. But unlike the Cubs fans who can only cling to some man who miraculously raised the Red Sox, we have more than a delusional hope to hang on to. We have a hope and trust from reading the Scriptures that God will deliver us. Not God might, or he might want to, but he does and he will. So this morning, I would like to look at having spiritual reliance on God. That is, first and foremost, having reliance on God for physical problems. Now, if you look with me in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 37. In Isaiah chapter 37, we see the first of numerous examples in the Bible of great men who relied on God to overcome their physical problems. Look with me in chapter 37 of the prophet Isaiah. Beginning in verse 10, Isaiah chapter 37 and verse 10. The first man for our study this morning is King Hezekiah. In verse 10, a messenger down the line from King Sennacherib of Assyria says this in verse 10. Thus you shall say to Hezekiah, king of Judah, do not let your God in whom you trust deceive you, saying, Jerusalem will not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Behold, you have heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all the lands, destroying them completely. So will you be spared? Look in verse 14 at Hezekiah's response. Then Hezekiah took the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And he went up to the house of the Lord and spread it out before the Lord. Hezekiah prayed to the Lord, saying, O Lord of hosts, the God of Israel who is enthroned above the cherubim, you are the God, you alone of all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see, and listen to all the words of Sennacherib, who sent them to reproach the living God. Truly, O Lord, the kings of Assyria have devastated all the countries in their lands, and have cast their gods into fire, for they were not gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. So they have destroyed them. Now, O Lord, our God, deliver us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you alone, Lord, are God. In a time of looming war, in a war with a nation that had overcome all of its adversaries, in war with a nation that was far greater in terms of its military might and even its commanding officers, Hezekiah relied on God. And God delivered. Look with me in verse 36. In verse 36, then the angel of the Lord went out and struck 185,000 in the camp of the Assyrians. And when men arose early in the morning, behold, all of those were dead. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and returned home and lived at Nineveh. Now, we aren't often faced with the idea of sending a nation to war or being in charge of sending our innocent young men and women to war with a country that will probably demolish them. However, we often face attacks from our God, whether it's directly at work or school, when coworkers sneer or snicker at our devotion to God, or the fact that we don't cheat on our taxes or do little things that are deceitful and are hated by the Lord. They laugh at that because we're not getting ahead. We're not being savvy businessmen. But also indirectly, we face attacks from our God. When we're watching movies and television shows that question the authority of God or even the very existence of God above. And what does that remind you of? King Sennacherib, look at what he said again in verse 11. Behold, you have heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all the lands, destroying them completely. So will you be spared? He said in the prior verse, do not trust in your God. Do not be deceived. He will not overcome me. That's the same challenge we face in the world today. But how do we respond to that? Do we just ignore it? Or do we face it head on? Or do we do what the Scriptures show us example of and what Hezekiah did and pray to the Lord? Look at another example of Hezekiah in chapter 38. Chapter 38 of the book of Isaiah, beginning in verse 1. Hezekiah's troubles continued beyond just this war that the Lord delivered him from. In those days, verse 1, Hezekiah became mortally ill. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came to him and said to him, thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. Then Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord and said, remember now, O Lord, I beseech you, how I have walked before you in truth and with a whole heart, and have done what is good in your sight. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. Then the word of the Lord came to Isaiah, saying, go and say to Hezekiah, thus says the Lord, the God of your father David, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Behold, I will add 15 years to your life. I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. Hezekiah also relied on God in a time of sickness, and God delivered. No matter what people say, no matter how difficult the circumstances may seem, we must rely on the Lord. Now, a second example of a great man of faith, who relied on God and had all the problems this world could offer, you may be thinking of him, Job. Look with me in Job chapter 1. Please join me in reading Job chapter 1. Job is perhaps the most well-known example of physical suffering. And it would be wonderful, I think, for us to look at his example to see what he did. In Job chapter 1, beginning in verse 16. Verse 16 of Job chapter 1. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, the fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, the Chaldeans formed three bands and made a raid on the camels and took them and slew the servants with the edge of the sword. And I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, your sons and your daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And behold, a great wind came from across the forest and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell on the young people, and they died. And I alone have escaped to tell you. Then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head, and he fell down to the ground and worshipped. We know how the story continues. It illustrates how Job lost all of his possessions. He lost his children. He even lost the support and the love of his spouse and his closest friends. And yet he maintained his reliance on God. How do we react when our world seems to be falling apart around us? Because although we don't face a looming war, or everything that Satan can possibly hurl at us at one time, there are times in this life, are there not, when it can seem like the world is caving in around us. I know recently, a year ago, there was a sister very close to me who, about last summer, lost both of her grandparents, who she had lived with for 6 years.